You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, Browns Nation, we want all of you to know that OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers are there for you when it comes to all of you as Browns fans. Their loyalty for the team is unconditional. That loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with their designation as the only Sharp Platinum-level service provider in town, is deluxe for you. OBM can tackle any of your copier problems. You'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit them, OhioBusinessMachines.com, or call them at 216-485-2000. So great to have all of you along. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hanford Dixon, one of the all-time finest on the corner in Cleveland Browns history, is here. I'm Michael Regei. We're in for the vacationing Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura. And let's go to our Ohio Business Machines hotline and welcome in one of the gentlemen we always delight not only in talking to, but hanging out with on the practice fields here in Berea, as we did over the course of about 4 weeks in May and early June, as we say hi to award-winning Cleveland Plain Dealer columnist Terry Pluto. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Hanford and Michael.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
I'm good.
You're doing.
I'm waiting,
is your mind swimming
you
right
are,
now?
You know.
Yeah. Well, let's start right
and
there.
I'm just writing story after story.
That's, you are.
That's
You're churning them out.
Yeah.
And listen, let's start right there.
Okay.
What can you've written pieces, Josh Gordon this week and LeBron James. You're kind of right now with the Cavaliers repertorial situation, what it is with the Plain Dealer. You are doing some of that too. So give us a sense of what you feel is going on in Las Vegas, and is this completely right now down to just the family, LeBron James' immediate family, making their decision?
I would think, and I'm sure, you know, Rich Paul and a couple of his close friends, you know, the business people aren't on it too, but yeah, it's up to them. And I've just been greatly amused by all the people who claim to know. They don't know. They don't know what LeBron's going to do. Just like last time around, so many people were sure about this and that. And that's why I've made, like, no predictions or anything else. I mean, the Cavaliers, the only thing they were told was, which is what Rich Paul told everybody, that one, he wanted a max contract, and then the Cavs were told quietly that, yes, he was interested in talking to them, but that's it. They made that trade without any big promise from LeBron. So, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's kind of on Dan Gilbert and them, but the flip side is you're also showing LeBron that, look, we are, you know, we're all in with you, we're going for it, but I don't know what he's going to do. And I don't think, other than the inner circle, they know, assuming LeBron's made up his mind.
Terry, I agree with you. I don't think anyone knows pretty much but LeBron, and I'm sure he's talked to his wife about it. But, you know, what do you make of you hear the Cavs, and what do you think about this? The Cavs going out and trying to get Ray Allen? I mean, is there anything left with him? But,
not even the sundae and the whipped cream. That's when you're adding. If you've got LeBron and you've done something else, you're bringing those guys in on a veteran minimum contract, Hanford, and so you're throwing some nuts on the sundae and some cherries and all that. But that would be just – now, Mike Miller, LeBron likes. He was very upset when Miami – I was amazed to see – you know, Miami won back-to-back titles and they cut their payroll by $2
million. Mm-hmm.
And – One of the things they did was let go of Mike Miller, a shooter that LeBron really likes. That would be the guy the Cavs would go after, I think, more than Ray Allen. Ray Allen's agent might be the one that's kind of pushing, hey, you know, if LeBron goes to Cleveland, we're available.
Terry Pluto joining us, and we're delighted to have an opportunity to speak with him. All right, I'm with you as well, not into making predictions about this because, you know, I have not spoken to LeBron James in a couple of years.
No, so, and also... You remember how he is a very deliberate person, and sometimes he's not one that, you know, immediately makes up his mind about anything. And frankly, being in the public eyes, he's been since he's been about 15, you know, he's very, hesitant to say much of anything. I mean, I guess the only quote in the last 3 weeks he said is no complaints. I have no complaints.
Right, yeah, he said that the other day at his camp.
That's it. All right. There you go.
Yeah, there it is. All right. What, before we move on to, and I want to get to Josh Gordon here because we are with Cleveland Browns Daily here, driven by Liberty Ford. But, Terry, because this story is so huge, it's so just absolutely over the top, do you feel that there could possibly – A, remain just too heavy of animosity and angst between Dan Gilbert and LeBron James, one. And do you think LeBron is already also looking to, when his playing days are done, possibly start to spin the wheel toward partial ownership as he ends his playing days?
That's interesting. I would think Magic Johnson would be one of his...
And Michael.
But I think even Magic more, because, you know, Magic is into so many different things.
Right, entrepreneurial, sure.
Yeah, and I think that would appeal to LeBron, too. You know, Magic's got the movie theaters, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff going.
Mm-hmm.
I think possibly, now the animosity is real, and that's one of the things that they would have to work out. But I also know, I mean, LeBron, he's not a vindictive guy. In fact, that's one of the arguments early in his career, that he was sort of too nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if anything, he kind of avoids conflict. If you notice, that was why when the whole decision thing came down and he became a villain all of a sudden, it was such a shock to him. He had never been in that situation before.
Right.
And, you know, he really struggled with how do you do that, where some of the other players, well, you know, forget you, I'm going to do what I want. It bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I think, you know, if Gilbert handles this the right way, I mean, in the end, basically, here's two Midwestern guys that like being in the Midwest, and this is a place that can make this work. And, you know, I wrote a column a couple of days ago about, if I were Gilbert, here's what I'd say. You know, you start with an apology, because you never call people names. I hate name calling.
Right,
it.
Right,
hate
right.
It. It comes back on you every time.
Right.
Doesn't
it
answer,
does.
Whether
right.
It's with your kids,
right.
Your wife, or whatever.
You're
you call
right.
A name, they might as well tattoo it right on my bald forehead. And so you apologize on that, and then secondly, then you just say, look, let's talk business, and you lay out. I mean, for example, the Cavs' last two payrolls under Dan Gilbert were higher than anything Miami ever spent.
Terry, let me ask you this, and I know we're going to move on from this,
mm-hmm.
but I told Michael, I think the timing is perfect here because LeBron, he's in the peak of his career, but if he's comes back and says, hey, you know, I'm going back to Miami, or decide to go to another team, do the Cavs just never bring him back again? Do they move? Well, I don't want to say never, but is it time to just move on and forget about it, or do you still leave open the possibility of bringing him back on the downside of his career?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you could do the whole Jim Tony, you know, with farewell tour with the Indians or that kind of thing, but that's not really what you want. I think if he turns them down this time, it's going to be rough, you know, for him. Because even though he hasn't, quote-unquote, led people on, just by this whole thing dragging on and being very evident, looks like it's only two teams. The interesting thing, I'm just working on a story now, is looking at some of these polls taken, and national polls, not Cleveland. Where should he go play? A Today Show poll had 63% of the people said he should play in Cleveland. The rest would go back to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then a ESPN poll had like 43% Cleveland, 36% another team, 21% Heat. You know, it looks like the nation thinks that LeBron, this would be a good thing for LeBron.
Sure.
And in fact, they seem to get it more. They might want to play at home than a lot of the national media.
That's very interesting. Terry Pluto joining us. In the time we have left, I want to, Terry, for you to convey to our listeners the Josh Gordon piece you wrote the other day, because I thought it was very compelling. And you work with those that are incarcerated. You have been for a long, long time. Have demons, be they addictive,
mm-hmm.
In any stretch of the imagination. All right, give. Josh Gordon, what would your solution be in terms of trying to get Gordon straightened out if you were the Cleveland Browns? And maybe how should they go down the path to making that happen?
Well, I really think that, you've got to get him in full-time rehab. I don't know if he's ever been there or not. I mean, he's done a lot of counseling and group work, I've been told, but I don't know if he's been where you just kind of shut away from everybody for a while and things make things slow down. And that's my goal. And so I would say to Josh, you take your pick. You're going to full-time rehab or we're cutting you, as I call it, a rehab or release. And you could say, well, that's sort of putting the gun to its head or that kind of thing to make him do it. But, I mean, are we going to watch this guy just self-destruct in front of our eyes here? I mean, what's he going to do next? Who's he going to be? It's never good when you're bailed out by Fats Thomas. I mean, it just isn't.
A convicted felon is who Terry's referring to.
Right.
With the
still on probation for weapons and drugs charges. I looked it up. It goes back to 2002. And Tom Reed has this story that came out of Charlotte. He ended up driving this kid Harrison's car. Harrison is played at North Carolina.
That's right. Basketball. That's right.
Point guard. Right.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
They traded cars. They just met at the Whole Foods store, and they traded cars for a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we're not thinking straight, right, Hanford? I mean, look.
Terry, have we figured out why he was there?
No.
Choices,
he traded
decisions.
His Mercedes for an Escalade for a day. I mean, come on. And, I mean, it's funny, but you know it's going in a horrible direction.
It is, and you hit it right on the head, this guy Fats. I mean, this guy is bad news. I mean, he is bad news, especially for a young kid that's got a lot going on trying to move in the right direction. But I was trying to figure that one out myself.
Right, I mean, they just meet, and this is Harrison's story. They just met, and they got to talking about their cars, and, you know, I'll drive yours, you drive mine. Turns out the car actually belongs to Fats, and so Fats has got to go get the car back because Josh got busted in it. I mean, this is like one of these bad movies.
Terry Pluto joining us.
And it's got to stop. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, if the Browns, you say, no, this has got to stop.
There's no question about that, and yet here still wait on, probably for another week, 10 days, maybe on to 2 weeks, what the NFL is going to hand down. All right, now, I want to get to Johnny Manziel. Here's you know, another situation that the Browns are faced with, and, you know, our understanding is that a couple of weeks into the third week of June, so a couple of weeks ago, he was at least told by this organization, all right, let's be smarter, let's tone it back, pull it back a little bit. And Terry, it just continues to escalate. My question to you is, let's assume he does achieve some prominence on the football field and becomes the quarterback of this football team. Is this going to continue to escalate his off-the-field endeavors? I mean, you said just stop. I mean, when is Johnny going to start making better choices and decisions? I know he hasn't broken the law. But,
right.
Terry, don't you think he's starting to put himself in a precarious position with those other 52 in that locker room, his teammates, with regard to what he's going to do for this football team?
Yeah, the only way he would overcome it, he has to play terrific. I mean, Hanford would know that, but he would be judged at even a higher standard now because it seems like he's just out, you know, drawing attention to himself and every weekend's a party. And a lot of other players go out and party, but still, he hasn't done a thing. We're not talking LeBron here.
Right, right.
He hasn't done anything. And by the way, do you notice this? The problem is you can't find LeBron, or he's out at his basketball camp. You don't get a bunch of pictures of him in weird places with weird people.
And the thing that killed me today, Terry, these guys strive on this. I mean, they want you to take pictures of them out in public in these kind of situations. I mean, call me old school if you want. I just want to lay low.
And the fact is, I don't think there's anybody, if Johnny Manziel were in your family and he was your son or your brother or whatever, say, you know how you got to spend your off season, Johnny, and lay this game plan out for him. I just don't think that's going on. And of course, all it does is, as you mentioned, Michael, in the locker room, I think it just enhances Hoyer's position.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we let Terry Pluto go, and he's been gracious with his time with us today and here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. All right, what type of acclimation period do you believe? Now we're talking football, Terry, at X's and O's at Kyle Shanahan's system. Do you believe it's going to be a tough acclimation period and a rugged go for Manziel early on at camp and into the preseason?
Yeah, because it's that's true of most quarterbacks, so I think it will be. Secondly, other than maybe some Texas Tech people or just people who are so fascinated by Johnny Manziel, I don't remember everybody saying he's immediately going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. No, nobody was talking about him like Andrew Luck. So
no one said that. No, yeah, you're right.
So just that alone, forget, as you said, I'm just talking pure football now. In fact, I was against drafting him because I just didn't like that style of quarterback that much.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit now in what we saw in some of the camps, when he actually set his feet and kind of ran the rollouts and set his feet, and he was pretty accurate passing, and he had pretty good arm strength. When he ran around and threw off balance and everything else, you know, heaven help us all. So he just has to really discipline his game. But I think it's not going to be easy for him. You know, the thing that he will probably have a good exhibition game or two, because he'll come in like the second quarter, and he'll be running around over the place against guys that are at the end of the bench or going to get cut, and he'll make some plays. And they're not going to run a lot of, you know, complicated blitzes and coverages on him. So I think his legs will make him have some nice games, but I just think it's hard for just about every rookie quarterback, and he's certainly not the exception.
Terry, very quickly, this football team, where do you see it ending up this year?
A loaded question, I mean, and very quickly.
There's a lot of interesting stuff. I've picked them 6-10 the last 5 years, and until they get to 6-10, I'm picking 6-10, and I'm sticking with it. Well, is this true?
I know. You've said that for the last 3 years. If nothing else, you stay consistent.
Well,
I love that about you.
You got it. Before you get to 7, you got to get to 6.
No question.
Yep. Our third grade math teachers would love us for remembering that. You're exactly right. Terry, we always enjoy the conversations. Let's do it again as we start training camp here in literally, 16 days away. So
wow.
We're closing in.
Thank you, Terry.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, Terry. That's Terry Pluto. Check him out at the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, of course. Piece on Josh Gordon earlier this week. Very captivating reading. You'll want to look at that if you haven't seen it. All right, we've got a lot to do. Terry's colleague from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot, right around the corner for us. So we have a lot to get into with Mary Kay. You should stick around with us. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford, Hanford Dixon, Michael Regai. We're in for Carucci and Zagura. Don't move. A lot more coming up.
Yeah, I can turn this thing around at the next red light.